Hi, and welcome to the Calvary Foursquare podcast. Our goal at Calvary is to reach our community with the truth and love of Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians 2:8, it says that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. So if you would like to find out more of who we are, you can go to our new website at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or search for us on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare. Thank you for listening and enjoy the podcast.
Oh man. All right. Well, I kind of just started preaching while I was praying, so I'm sorry about that. My mind's kind of on one thing. But so last month I talked about little faith. And what we talked about with little faith is that when you are consistent in your little faith, that is where crazy faith develops. I'm sorry, I'm going to be messing with this all day. Sorry about that. But little faith is that mustard seed faith that we talked about last month, where we talked about how we want crazy things to happen. We say that we want, you know, God to move in our lives. We say that we want God to help with our finances, to help with our family, to help with, you know, our youth group, to help with our church, to help it grow, to help it expand. But yet, when it comes to like simple things, like a simple headache or our financials, we just kind of say, oh, I'm going to take care of that myself. And we don't build our little faith. And I said it last month when it comes to crazy faith. Crazy in what, or in trusting in fully in what you cannot explicitly prove. And so for that, it's like, for some reason, I believe that this can happen. I don't have the credentials for the job. I don't have the experience. But for some reason, I believe that I'm going to get this position because I have my faith in God. Or it's something where I don't know what's going to happen to my children, but I have faith in who God is, that he is going to move in their lives and he is going to take them where they need to go. For some reason, I have faith in my financials where I don't know where the money's going to come from this month, but I have faith in God that he is going to provide to pay for my bills. And so that is crazy faith, and that is where we are going to kind of start talking about what is faith in our lives and how can we build that. And so a lot of times we kind of ask about, and we kind of ask each other, we even ask our pastors, like, how do you know you're moving in faith? How do you know that what your faith is doing is going to work? How do you know that everything's going to be okay at the very end? And the simple answer is this. You can't, right? There's no way. If faith was for sure, then it'd be really easy. You see, if faith was so easy to figure out, then everyone would do it right away. It's not that faith. If it's not faith, then you can figure it out. Faith starts where understanding ends. Faith starts when your understanding ends. Where you're like, I don't know what happened, but God did it somehow. See, last month when we talked about little faith, we were talking about, okay, I don't know how God's going to take care of this little situation, but I'm going to put my faith in it, and I'm going to put my faith in God, and he is going to provide for it. So today, we're going to be talking about taking the next step from little faith to maybe faith, where I don't know if it's going to happen, but I'm going to have faith and I'm going to put my stand on God and maybe it will happen. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. So faith is not found in what you are believing in, but who you are believing in. So faith is not in the fact that you are believing that you're going to get that house someday. Faith is believing that God's going to provide for you as you pursue that house. And maybe you get it, maybe you don't. A lot of us count ourselves out when, let's say you wanted that job for a while, and you ended up not getting it. And you go, oh, well, I guess I just didn't have enough faith for it, or I didn't believe enough for it. But in reality, your faith was working, because what it could have been is God was protecting you and saying, no, I have something even better for you. I have another job, or I have another place for you that's going to be even better than the one that you saw right there. So where you think that your faith wasn't actually working, God is still working all the time. So don't discount your faith just because what you expected to happen didn't happen. Who is the one that is providing that faith? Who is the one that is letting you do what you are doing today? Salvation is your starting line of faith, right? Salvation is where you're saying, I believe Jesus died for my sins, and I believe that I am going to go to heaven and have a relationship with him. That is the starting line of faith. But when we talk about maybe faith, when we talk about little faith, that is when we start talking about the promises he has for us. That's when we start talking about the blessings that God has ready for you. And that's where faith needs to start moving. You can't just sit at the starting line and just say, yeah, Jesus saved me, I'm good, and then expect the promises to come to you just like that and just wait for them. You have to move in your faith to start seeing God's promises move in your life. Can we go to our first verse, Hebrews 10:38? And my righteous ones will live by faith, but I will take no pleasure in the ones who turn away. You see, when we are in the starting line and we say that we believe in Jesus and we believe that he died for our sins, we started our faith. But it says right here, but the righteous ones will live by faith. It doesn't say we're just going to start with faith. It says that you are going to live by faith. Every single day, we need to live by faith in those little things that we need to ask God for in the big situations. We need to start with that mustard seed faith that we talked about last month. We need to start with those little things. Then when it comes to the big things, it says right there, we need to live by faith. There is a gap between what we can do in our own abilities and what God can do through our faith. Amen? There is only so much that we can do in our own abilities, but there is so much more that we can do through faith, because that is through God and not the situation. And so, hold on. I went too far. So, if you are a believer, there will always be a gap between what you need and what you have, right? There is always a gap between what you need and what you have, and God, through faith, is able to provide you what you need through all of that. And so if we go ahead and go to, or did I put this up? 2 Corinthians 12:8. I don't think I put it up. Nope, okay, because that's why I put it in my Bible, just in case. All right, so a perfect example of that is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul is probably one of the most famous apostles, and he should probably be the one that has the pass on faith, right? He should be the one that should have everything he needs for what he is going to do. He is the one that he has seen miracles firsthand. He experienced his own miracle. He went from being a Christian killer to a one that was going to go create Christians. He started out with his very own miracle on the road of Damascus, where he was blind by God, and someone gave him or rubbed on his eyes and he was able to see. That was through the power of God. He literally seen miracles. But then in 2 Corinthians 12:8, or it's 7 through 10, where it talks about Paul, where he's talking to God about this thorn in his flesh, right? Where he's just saying, God, here, I'll just go ahead and read it. I'm going to go, let's see. Yeah, I'll go ahead and start at 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might be departed from me. So not only did he ask once, he asked 3 times. So I'm pretty sure he really wants this gone, whatever it is. And in verse 9 it says this, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul was the perfect example of acting in, God, I need this thorn on my flesh. And God says, no. I have you right where I want you. I have you right where I want you. That thorn in your flesh, that's perfect, because what that does is that puts you dependent on me. That puts you dependent on me. When you are dependent on me, then greater things are going to happen. You see, Paul, even in that moment, right before he pleaded 3 times, he didn't understand. But then when he got that revelation from God, when he had that faith, when he had that devotion to God, because part of this too, faith comes from your devotion to God. When you talk to God every day, when you read your Bible, when you're in worship, when you are in communion with him every day, when you get to know him more, that's when you start to get these revelations. It doesn't happen when you're just driving in your car and just in complete silence. It happens when you are devoting yourself to him and putting your mindset and aligning your body and your mind and your soul to Christ. So when he notices that, and he notices that in his flesh, the thorn in his flesh, his body was out of balance. So he's pleading to God, God, put me back in balance, put me back in place. Provide for me. And he goes, okay, but that's through me. I will do that for you. I will be sufficient for you. I will take care of that for you. You see, so often when we look at our faith and we look so often at the church and what Christians are, we believe so much in the plan, right? God has great things for the church. God has great things for youth group. God has great things for these ministries, but we don't look at the purpose for our own selves. God has a calling for each and every one of us. God has a purpose for each and every one of us to grow and to draw closer to him, but we don't move on that. Why? Because it can be scary. Why? Because we don't have that 100% sure answer. You see, look at when that second part of Hebrews 10:38, but I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. When you are not acting in what God is calling you to do, then you are turning away from God. When you are just sitting there saying, I'm going to wait until it's 100% sure, you are not acting in faith. And if you are not acting in faith, look what the word says. I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. He takes no pleasure in that. So let's go ahead and go to Genesis 12:1. So a perfect example is the actual father of our faith, Abraham. And so I'm going to go ahead. Actually, I'll read it from here. So now in Haran, the Lord had said to Abram, go away from your country and from your relatives for your father's house, or from your father's house, and he knows, right? Now, this is really key because God is telling him to leave everything he knows, right? He's telling him to leave his parents. He's telling him to leave the people that he knows. He's telling him to leave his culture. And then it says right here, in the father's house, to the land which, what? I will show you. Now, I've already shown you. Now, you already know where to go. I will show you, but you have to have the faith to leave first. He is literally pulling up, God's literally pulling up to Abraham in his car and says, come on in and buckle up. But yet, and for us, when that happens to us, we kind of go with the same questions. Because if someone just came, like a friend of mine would just come up in a car and said, go ahead, buckle up. My first question is, where are we going? What are we doing? And when are we coming back? And if he doesn't answer, then I'm not going in, right? Like, I know some of my friends, I'm not going in. But that's exactly what God's doing to him. He said, leave, buckle up, and I will take you. Let's go ahead and go to the next verse. And I will make a great nation, and I will bless you abundantly and make your name great, exalted, distinguished, and you will be a blessing, a source of great good to others. Let's go to the next one. And I will, bless, do good for benefit those who bless you, and I will curse that is subject to my wrath, a judgment to the one who curses, depression, dishonors, has contempt for you. And in you, all the families, nations of the earth will be blessed. You see, he said, here's the promise if you are obedient. Here's all the blessings that I have for you, but you have to leave and you don't know where you're gonna go yet, but once you leave, I will guide you. But look at all of this is what's happening. And here's the crazy thing. Here's the crazy thing. We are living in that promise right now from God to Abraham. We are the answer to that promise today. We are those nations that he is promising him right now. And here's the things that we need to understand about faith when it comes to this scripture. Is the first one is faith is uncomfortable. If you have a great job, you have a great family, and you're looking good, and you're all set, start searching your heart and see where God wants to take you next. Because being too comfortable, there's something inside you that God says, maybe you're afraid to ask your kids. Or maybe I want to start those conversations that you're not quite ready to have with your husband or wife. Maybe there is something inside of you that is stirring, but you don't want to do it yet because you're like, ooh, that's not that comfortable. Everything around me is going good right now. My salary is great. My job's great. My kids are being good. I don't want to mess that up. I don't want to get in that setting of uncomfortability. But faith, even when you don't know what's going to happen, it's going to shape something even greater inside of you, just like what God's promise is to Abraham. The next one is faith will be unfamiliar. God's going to take you places. God is going to search things in you that you had no idea even were possible. And that is going to be, going back to the first one, that's going to be uncomfortable because you have no idea how to handle it. I don't know how many times God's revealed something to me or God's taking me places where I had no idea what I was doing. And don't get me wrong, I'm a very extroverted person and I love talking to people, but when he asks me to reach out to someone, literally my first year in my internship in Madison ELN, we had to do this thing called a treasure hunt. And what it was is you had to pray and you had to ask God to give you someone to pray for and then go find them out in the city. So literally my very first treasure hunt, I had to pray, I was praying, and I got this, I got these words, and it was very simple. I got Taco Bell, mall, and bucket hat. And I was like, what the heck does that mean? And so literally I go to my intern director. He goes, all right, so where are you going to go? Like, where are you going to go for your treasure hunt? Like, who do you have to pray for? I'm like, I don't know. I'm getting two different places. I'm getting Taco Bell in the mall, and I'm getting a bucket hat. I know, right? Yeah, right? I get some Taco Bell at that point. Never did, though. I was kind of disappointed about that. But I was like, there's these two places. I don't know where the Taco Bell's at. I don't know where the mall's at. He goes, oh, no, that's perfect, because there's a Taco Bell in the mall. And I was like, okay, I see. And so I go there, and sure enough, there is this two older couple where the husband had a bucket hat on. And so I go over there, and I start talking to him. I'm like, hey, I know this is really weird. I am shaking at this point. Like, this was like September. My pits were sweating, like, and it was obvious. And I go up to this person. I'm like, hey, I know this is really weird, but God told me to pray for you. I'm not quite sure what, but I was just like in my prayer room, and this is just kind of what happened. And like, I show him the list. I'm like, here's the things that he told me. And so, and then finally, the just had a very major heart surgery just a few days before, and they weren't handling it very well. And so during that, when I had the act of faith, they were praying for his healing for like the past 2 months, and just praying that something would happen. And then having me coming over there was just a huge encouragement for them. But it was an unfamiliar, uncomfortable faith that took me there in the first place, that I never would have met them, never talked to them again. But you don't really need to when you have faith that God is going to heal someone. And so for the next one is, faith will require new provision. You see, a lot of this is, we think that faith is a formula. We're just like with your, like, I have a routine with my fantasy football team where like I draft in a certain way. It never changes every year, and it almost works every year. One of these years I'm gonna win. But I have a formula and I have a way to do it. But faith is not like that. You see, when Jesus healed and when Jesus did miracles, it was never the same way. When he healed the blind, the first person, he just spit in their eyes and started rubbing them. The next person, he just rubbed their eyes and they were fine. I wonder if those two ever had a conversation. He's like, wait, he spit in your eyes? Like, what the heck? Like, no, faith is not a formula. It is new provision every time. Because if we have the routine of it, then where's the faith? Because our faith is not in what we are doing. The faith is in who. And last for this portion is, faith will force vulnerability. When you are open to God, it's not easy. He's going to see stretch marks. He's going to see scars. He's going to see bruises. And you're going to have to let it all out to him. When I was called to be a pastor, my first time when I felt the calling was when I was around 10 years old. I can't remember how old I was, but I remember I was at summer camp. And I heard the voice, and I'm like, oh, no, that's not me. I'm like, oh, no, I'm just making this up. Everyone else is going up. That's not me. And I doubted God's voice for many years, because if I doubted it then every other time he tried speaking to me, I'm like, oh, that's not him. That's the same voice I heard about being a pastor. That's not it. And so finally, when I was 17 years old, at my lowest of lows, at that point, I finally accepted God's call to be a pastor. And I had parents. I had to tell my Catholic school that they have priests and not pastors. So I was very vulnerable with what I was telling people. I said, I don't know for a fact, but I believe that God is calling me to be a pastor. And during that whole journey, I was in this in-between where I think I'm called to be a pastor. I'm confident in it, but I don't know 100% sure. Times in my internship where I was just like, I don't know what I'm doing. I know I'm supposed to be here, but I don't know where my faith is at right now, because I think I'm supposed to be called to be a pastor, but nothing's happening, and I'm just working really hard, and I'm stressed out, and I was just all over the place. But when it goes to my last point for this portion is that faith is moving. When you are believing in something that God is doing for you, you can't just stand there and just let it sit. Faith is moving. You see, it's a lot easier. Is Preston? Yeah. Hey, Preston, can I have you real quick? Yeah, sweet. Okay. So, Preston, stand right here. So this is like where salvation starts, right? And this is where he wants you. It's a lot harder for God. I'm going to pick you up. So it's a lot harder for God to pick you up and carry you all the way over here. Thank you, Preston. Then can you start walking? When you start moving, it's easier for him to just push you and get you where you need to go. And that's how it feels like sometimes, right? All right, thanks, Preston. You can go ahead and go back. Because let's say like that was you, a full-grown person. Like, I'm not picking you up and carrying you over there. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I have a bad back. I'm not carrying you over there. But if you start walking, I can push you. I'll push you all you want. And that's what starts with God. God wants you to start moving so he can start pushing you the right direction, whether it's right or wrong. Faith is never 100% right. So if you start moving in something and God's not pushing you toward that, that's why for so many of us, when we say, I'm not sure like where God's calling me, then move. Start searching it out. Maybe, hey, I will take a youth leader any day. I'm just putting that out there. I will take a youth leader at any moment. If you're not sure where to start, come talk to me. I'll get you started. And hey, if you feel like you're gonna punch a kid, then we can talk about that. So I'm just saying, faith starts with moving. I'm sorry, youth kids, don't be scared. I won't let anyone punch you. But you see, the pain of faith, when you're not sure where it's going, the pain of faith is anchored by the promise with it. You see, Abraham, when we looked at this, promises, and we are still living in that promise today that God gave to Abraham. So let's go ahead and let's go to verse 4, Mom. By the way, my mom's the projector person, by the way. This is great. I'm having a lot of fun today. So Abraham departed in faithful obedience as the Lord had directed him. And Lot, his nephew, left with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he left. So how did he leave? He departed in faithful obedience. Now, I don't know what that would look like physically, but I'm sure it wasn't easy. So I know when I left my hometown to go to Madison, I was extremely nervous. And then when I left Madison to go back to Clinton and started another internship, I was also extremely nervous because I'm like, God, I have no idea what I'm doing. This is like, I was the guinea pig for that internship. I had no idea what it was going to look like, but I moved in faith. And I feel like it's in the same feeling of Abraham, where I was just in faithful obedience, where I had no idea. I had no idea what was going to come out of it. But because I acted in faith, look where I'm at now. I knew, I was never 100% sure that I was going to be a pastor, but because I had maybe faith, where I'm like, maybe this is what it is, I continued acting in that, and look what he did. He provided me and he got me into a position where he called me, was that 7 years ago. It took 7 years, but I acted in faith. You see, one of the things that we often think that disqualifies our faith is doubt. We think that doubt is going to just stop us from believing in what God has us for. But you see, doubt is not the opposite of faith. Doubt is actually a part of faith. And the prime example of that is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? Right before he's about to be nailed on the cross, he goes down for prayer, and he's asking God, God, if there's any other way, he doubted, right? God, I'm not so sure about this anymore. God, I'm about to die. I'm not so sure if this is the right thing. But how did he answer, and how did he end, or how did he answer his doubt? How did he respond? Not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done. And that's how we combat doubt. Not my will, not what I think is best. And he gave us the example of how to combat doubt in that situation. It is not my will, it is your will be done. You see, the opposite of faith isn't doubt. It's not. The opposite of faith is fear. When we don't move, it's because we're afraid of what the outcome is. When we don't move, we are afraid because we don't know what the answer is. Can we go ahead and go to Mark chapter 4? Perfect. Okay. So the whole story is about Jesus in the storm, right? Where he told his disciples, let's get on this boat and let's go across. And in the midst of the storm, all of the disciples are freaking out, right? And I'll go ahead and read it. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on the cushion. The disciples woke him up shouting, Teacher, don't you care about where we're going? We're going to drown. Sorry, that was a lot harder for me to read, and that, I'm going to look over there more. Okay, but think about it. In the midst of the storm, Jesus was asleep. How many times in your life where you had a storm in your own life that you thought Jesus was asleep? Where you're just like, Jesus wasn't there, and you are shouting just like these disciples, like, God, where are you? How many times does that happen? But yet Jesus, he was sound asleep. He was, when he woke up, I'm sure he had no idea where he was at for like 5 seconds. I can't tell you how many times where I'm asleep at summer camp, and a little kid will come up to me and like wake me up, and I like wake up, and I'm like, why is there a kid in front of me right now? And I'm like, oh, right, I'm a cabin leader, summer camp. What's up? What's your name? Jeffrey? Oh, sorry, Adam. What's up? I have to pee. What's going on? I'll go take him pee. I'm sure Jesus was sound asleep, and when he woke up, he had no idea what was going on. But do we have the next verse after that? I forgot how many of these. Awesome, I did. But when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, silence, be still. Suddenly the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, why are you afraid? Do you have no faith? Do I have the next one after that? The disciples were absolutely terrified. Who is this man? They asked each other. Even the wind and the waves obeyed him. You see, when it is our own storms, right? Let's say like this half of the stage is fear and this half of the stage is faith. Jesus, he wasn't in fear. He was, and he had faith that God was going to provide for them through that storm. But all of his disciples, they were in fear. And how many of you guys have had like restless sleep where you're just sitting or you're laying down and you can't sleep because there's so much on your mind. You have no idea what's going on and you lose your sleep. Why? Because you do not have the faith that God is going to provide for you and rest like Jesus did. And so where do you put your faith or where do you put yourself every day? Do you put yourself in fear, wondering what's going on every day? Or do you start putting yourself in faith and start looking forward? You see, a really good question to ask yourself when you're doing this every single day is, where do I put my pillow? Where am I going to rest in today? Am I going to rest in all these questions and doubt, or am I going to rest that, hey, even though I don't know, God's going to provide? Let's go ahead and go to 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and sound mind. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and of timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Power, love, and self-discipline is on the side of faith. Remember, we talked about how, as Christians, we need to have that faith to get access to what he is asking us for us, and he has it ready for us. But if we sit in fear, we are not where God wants us to be. And here's the other thing. The idea of being 100% sure that something was God before you do it is a lie, because that's where faith comes in moving. You have no idea something was God until you act out in it. But so many of us are paralyzed because we are waiting to be 100% sure that this is God before we move. We are paralyzed in fear because we're like, oh, I'm not sure. I've never really acted out in God's obedience before, so I'm just going to sit here and see what it looks like. And when I see God starting to move, then I'll be a part of it. We're waiting for God to push us first, but God wants you to move first, and then he'll take you the rest of the way. See, I was never 100% sure that I was going to be a pastor. I was never 100% sure that I was going to be where I'm at today, but I acted in faith, and I trusted God, and after 7 years, I finally became what he promised me 7 years ago. And so I am going to stand in the place where I believe that even if I don't know what the outcome is, my faith is in the who and not the what. My faith is going to stay there. Now, maybe our maybe faith isn't 100% faith. Our maybe faith is not going to be, I am 100% for sure this is going to happen. Maybe our maybe faith is 51%, where you're just like, I'm not quite sure. Like, you're still kind of fear, because fear is a real thing. But you're not going to look back at fear. You're going to look forward to God's promises. Reach out to God and say, God, I don't know, but I'm going to have faith, and I'm just going to have just enough faith. And God says, that's okay. That 51%, I can carry you the rest of the way. We do not need that 100% faith. It is a maybe faith. When you look at the people in the Bible, they did not have 100% faith. But I love in Genesis, I didn't put it in there, so I'm sorry, Mom. But in Genesis 22, when we look again at Abraham, when he had his son Isaac, and he had to go and God told him to go sacrifice his son. This is really key. I love what he says here. He's taking his son, and he's taking his servants with them, and he has no idea what he's doing. He prayed for the son for so many years and thought it was impossible. Then God finally gave him the miracle of having a son who was Isaac. And then not even a few years later, he's asking him to go sacrifice him. And so while he was acting in faith, he says this. And Abraham, as he was getting everything lifted and going up into the mountain, and he said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, the lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. And we will come back to you. He had faith that God was going to provide for him and that they both will come back. Even though he was acting in obedience and he had to sacrifice his son, he had faith in that moment when he told his servant, we're going to go back up, but we both will come back. And sure enough, when he went all the way up there, acted in faith until the very last, to the point where his knife was raised, and then finally God provided for him. He acted in faith until the very last possible moment when he had no idea what was going on. And so when we look at faith, we can look at Hebrews 11:1 as well, where we can say, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. We have to put our faith in motion, and we have to act as if we don't know what the outcome is. Because when we think we know the outcome, then we are putting our faith in what that outcome is instead of who's the one providing it. We have to make sure that we are aligning our faith in who is providing for us, not what we hope the outcome will be. Because we will never know what the outcome will be, but if your faith is in the person who's providing for you, then everything's going to be okay on the other side. You're never going to know if what you're doing is 100% sure or right until you move into it. So that's where I'm going to go ahead and end right here with that, is that even when you don't know what the outcome is, you know you can trust God. You see, the disciples, they had their own struggles, you know, throughout the entire through the New Testament, but yet they still had their faith in who Jesus was. And yet they still, when they started building the church, when Paul started building the church, and I preached this on Wednesday, when he was writing to the church in Philippians, he was in prison at the time. And what he was writing to them was saying, hey, I know what's happening right now is horrible. We are being persecuted, but have faith in God because he's going to provide for us. Do not give up your faith because he is going to provide for you. He was not saying like what his situation was horrible. He was saying, I am content where God has me now because I know I'm acting in faith. And so that's where we need to be, is everything's not going to be perfect. Everything's not going to be for sure. But when you act in faith and you move believing that this is what God has for you, then you're going to see God move in your life. And it's not going to be in the what you expected. It's going to be in the who you expected. Because how many of you are exactly where you planned to be 10 years ago? No, right? None of us are where we thought we were going to be 10 years ago. So why do we even bother planning in the first place? Our faith is in the who, not the what. And that's where I'm going to go ahead and end this.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to hear more of our messages or find more information on who we are, you can find us at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare Church. Thank you again for listening and have a good day.